follow along. This is a good sermon. I think I'd like it. And when I like a sermon, it's usually pretty decent. The word of life is what John the Apostle talks about when he writes the epistles of 1 John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are three little letters in the end of the Bible almost that John the Apostle wrote. Who is John? John was one of the 12 men who were chosen by Jesus Christ to become apostles. What are apostles? The apostles in the Bible is real clear about this, are the foundational layers of the belief system of the church. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the supporting, if you will, foundation. On top of that, because he invested all of his teaching, time, and energy when he was here on earth with these 12 men, and from them came the teachings for Christianity. Okay? So they're the foundation layers. Those who run around today in today's world saying that they are apostles, they are not telling the truth, because to be an apostle biblically, you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus. You had to have been with him since the beginning of the baptism of John until the time that he was taken up bodily into heaven. That's the requirement in Acts chapter 1. They themselves said it when they replaced Judas. They said, we need to have someone. We need to choose a man who has been with us since the baptism of John the Baptist, who was beheaded for being a prophet to the people, and who has been with us all the way through until the ascension of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And so they replaced Judas. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Why? Does this matter to you? You're going through your life. You're going through your struggles. It matters a lot, because what is taught and what you believe determines a trajectory. You know anything about trajectories? That we just had a spacecraft that had to plunge back into Saturn, because was it Jupiter? It was Saturn. And Voyager, I forget the name of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's one of our satellites that we sent way out there. If we didn't know how to send a spacecraft to another heavenly body like the moon or a planet, if you're off just this much, not even a tenth of a degree, you'll miss it by a million miles. You have to calculate that thing perfectly, okay? Trajectories matter. So what you believe foundationally is what I'm trying to emphasize here. What you believe foundationally as a Christian will determine many things about your life. It'll determine how you live, what you think is right and wrong, what you think God is and Jesus is and heaven is, and all of these things. And the church has been inundated by so much false teaching that it's amazing to me that there are any Christians left, because people don't even... I was listening on the way into the office last week. You and I need to know what is taught. I was on my way to the office, and there was about four or five, maybe more, pastors on the radio, and it was a Christian station. And I was listening, and I was thinking to myself, what are these guys saying? And then I kept on listening, and I go, you got to be kidding. These are pastors that stand behind pulpits, and this is what they think? They were actually starting to advocate that the Word of God and the way it's been believed and held to in Western culture isn't true anymore. So guess what that means? That if you happen to be in a church where somebody like that is preaching, they may even have a Bible education behind their name or a degree or whatever, but if they are actually starting to say that the Bible's got error, or that the Word of God and the things believed in it are, you know, that's all Western, and we're not totally right. Maybe some of the Eastern thought is right. That means they're saying that Buddhism and Islam and Confucianism and confusion is going to mess up the people that are under their teaching. Many pulpits in Santa Fe have people standing behind the pulpit. They're self-appointed, by the way, many of them. And many of them at the behest of the people themselves, because the Bible says in Timothy, in the last days, people will gather teachers to tell them what they want to hear, not what the Bible says. Tell them what they want to hear. And so you have people who stand behind pulpits or at the heads of religious organizations, and they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe anything about the Bible and what it says and who Jesus is and who God is and who heaven is, what heaven is and what hell is. They don't believe any of it. And they are very influential, many of them. And I'm here to tell you that you have to really be careful of this, because the Apostle John is going to tell us this today. You need to listen to what he's saying, not me, him. He was with Jesus personally. He was one of the apostles that stood with Jesus all the way to the crucifixion, and he saw him get buried. John did. Okay? Listen to what he's telling you, because Jesus Christ personally discipled him. If you want to understand Christianity, go back to the simplest teachings of it. And that goes back to the words of Jesus himself. And so since this man, John, was with Jesus, what you're really hearing aren't John's words, you're hearing Jesus' words. So let's listen. That which was from the beginning, which we, the apostles, have heard, which we, the apostles, saw with our eyes, we looked at, and with our hands we touched him. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So I've entitled this series, The Word of Life. They were personally discipled by Jesus Christ, God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So they're revealing to us, just like the Son revealed to us what the Father is like. The Son reveals to the apostles what God is really like. And their teachings are the foundational teachings of the Christian church. No one has the right to go back and change a foundation. If you try to dig up a foundation, the building falls down. In Houston, when the hurricane came in, that was Hurricane Harvey. When Hurricane Harvey came in before Irma in Florida, some of the foundational structures in Houston were starting, the buildings were starting to fall because the water saturated the ground and the foundation sank and the building fell over. If you mess with foundations, it messes up the whole structure. You and I do not have the right to go back and change what the Word of God says. No one does. No human being does. But you're going to find out that that is the very tactic that the enemy, Satan, and all of his demons, and all of his false prophets and false teachers, that's their tactic. How do I attack the church? I go at the foundation. I attack the Bible. Because if I get people disbelieving the Bible, then I've got them. Okay, so watch. The Word of Life warns us. What is the Word of Life for? What does God want us to know? Well, he's warning us. What is he warning us of? He's warning us of what's going to come and why things are happening around you in the culture, why there's so much weird stuff happening in today's culture. It's because of this. Dear children, this is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last time. So what's John saying? That was 2,000 years ago when he wrote this. How could that be the last time? Obviously, he's talking about in the ages of human history, the time that you and I are now living in since the church was born, since Jesus came, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, and the church was born. From then until the end, when Jesus comes back, we're in the last time. It's the last epoch, the last age of human history before God does the final new heavens and new earth and judges everything. We're in the last time. Even though it has taken 2,000 years since Jesus came, we're still in the last time. And it's a good thing he waited for 2,000 years for you and me to be born. Because many, many Christians who have prayed, oh God, come now, come, please come right now. It's really bad right now. It's always bad. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible says it's going to get way worse. We're already in these worst times. In Timothy, Paul told Timothy that the Spirit expressly says that in the last days there will be all this horrible stuff going down. We're in it right now. Drug addiction, suicide, demon possession, infatuation with death and the cult of death and zombieism and who knows what else and all of the weird isms that we have going on in our culture today. Why? It's because of what they've been listening to. Look what he says. Antichrist is coming, and many antichrists have come. And that was since John. He's already an older man when he writes this. I went and just did a cursory search on antichrists or people who claim to be the spiritual leader that you need to listen to. And I was, oh, I'll share a few, I thought. And I go, I can't. There was thousands and thousands of hits of people through time since Jesus Christ who have claimed to be some kind of a spiritual leader that everybody should listen to, either claim to be on a direct succession with Jesus Christ or equal to him or even a better prophet than what he was. Actually, that's what Islam says. They say that, oh, yeah, Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad is God's prophet. Muhammad is Allah's prophet. Well, should you listen to that? No, because if you listen to that, then you're minimizing Jesus Christ. And then there's many, 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 many others claiming, even within Christendom itself, inside and behind pulpits, people who start to look, anytime any Christian teacher or preacher, so-called, starts asking for adulation that is God's, they're not from God. Because a true teacher will always point to him, to him, to him. They'll never point to self, to self. John the Baptist, he must become greater, I must become less, remember? James, the brother of Jesus, I'm the brother of Jesus, listen to what I say. We need to be careful. Dear children, this is the last time many antichrists are going to come. Watch this. Where did John get this from? He got it from the teacher, Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 24, where Jesus was asked by his own disciples, what's the end of the age and the end times? What's going to happen before you come back again and when you establish your kingdom? What's going to happen? And he tells them something. I'm not going to talk about what he taught here in Matthew other than to emphasize that he repeats this time and time again. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. Jesus taught this, not me. I'm just quoting what he said. Then he repeats it in verse 11. That was verse 5 in Matthew 24. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. So, sounds like Jesus is saying a lot of false teachers and false prophets are going to come. And when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, well, that, if you study the Bible at all, that is the Antichrist who is going to come. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I am telling you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, don't go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, don't believe it. So what's Jesus doing? Emphasizing that false teachers, false prophets are going to multiply. There's going to be tons and tons. And all of the isms and all of the false teachings of all of these false prophets are going to have an influence that is very, very broad. So all of the things that have happened in our human history, even in recent history with the rise of the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler held a Bible and had a kid as a picture. I mean, that was one, Mao Zedong. I mean, all of the, Stalin, Lenin, all of these guys, they all used Christianity as a horseback to get to where they wanted to, power. And they became these horrible killing machines. And that's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. If you go back all the way to Jesus and even before, there have always been people who say, follow me, and it always results in death and destruction. But when you listen to God, the Prince of Life, the Word of Life, what you see is blessing and growth and change and wonderful stuff. When you follow a false prophet, it's always death. It's always confusion. Look at David Koresh, look at Jim Jones, and those are two individuals just within Christendom itself. Were they really Christians? I doubt it, because a real Christian will never bring people to their death. They'll always try to point them to life. Look what Jesus said about his coming. As lightning comes from the east and is visible to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Everywhere it's talked about in the Bible, it's emphasized that Jesus' coming will be so spectacular that no one can doubt who he is. That's the true Christ. Now, the Word of Life reveals the spirit of Antichrist. Going back to John, he says this, these Antichrists came out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed none of them belonged to us. Now, this doesn't mean that somebody comes to a Christian church and then leaves it and goes to another one, that they're Antichrist. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people that came in to the influence of Christianity, like Judas, saw all of the life-changing things that it does, saw that it drives out demons, that it straightens out their lives, that they get born again, that they follow God, that they give themselves to him. They see it. They even saw, like Judas, he saw miracles happen and maybe even perform them. Because if you read the Gospels, all of the apostles were commissioned by Jesus to go out and to drive out demons and to do miracles. So it's possible that Judas actually did miracles in the name of Jesus, still, though, denied Jesus and betrayed him and stabbed him in the back for 30 pieces of silver. If you think that following God, like it says in the scripture, is a way to get rich, then you are being mistaught. It is not a way to get rich. I will say this, that when you begin to follow Christ and God, your life starts to straighten out, even your finances, and you'll get richer just because of that. Okay? It's not because, oh, God's a multi-billionaire, and so I want multi-billions too. Give it to me, God. I mean, that's really weird stuff. I mean, there's a lot of name it, claim it stuff in the American church that is dangerous, very, very, very dangerous. He wants me to be healthy. He wants me to be wealthy. He wants me to be influential and totally happy and never to suffer anything. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. Anyway, they went out from us. They didn't belong to us. If they would have remained. But their going shows that none of them belonged to us. That means people had the influence of Christendom, but they went out, they denied Christendom, and they began to teach and preach about themselves or about following me or about their way of interpreting everything. And when you read and do a cursory search on the internet about people who claim to be a spiritual, if you will, sage, a messiah, you'll find the exact same thing about all of them. They all start pointing to themselves, not to him, not to Jesus. And that's the danger sign. That's the danger sign, because the word of life will reveal that spirit. Whenever somebody is pointed to themselves, look at me, listen to me. You say, well, what about you? You're preaching. I'm not telling you to believe in me. I can't even save me. I have to be saved through him. I'm only pointing to Jesus. That's all I'm doing. I'm preaching his word. It's not even my word. I didn't write this book. All I do is take this book and try to teach it to you. That's all. I'm not trying to make it up. Now, the word of life anoints us. It's an anointing. What's an anointing? It's not what you think it is. Listen, you have an anointing from the Holy One. That would be God. And all of you know the truth. All of you who are truly born again, you know truth. Why? I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. Once you open your heart to him and he comes into your life, you have truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. So what does the word of life do for you? When you ask Jesus to come into your life, truth starts to come in. It doesn't just start to. He is truth. So once he's in, truth is there. What you do with it is a little different in the sense that if you decide to resist what truth is telling you as the Lord invades your life and he starts putting the light in every closet and dark corner of your mind and in your life, if you don't deal with it, you're going to have trouble. Okay, that's different. Now, this word of life anointing, watch. Jesus is the one that taught them this. And he taught them this right before he went to the cross. Judas had already betrayed him. He left. This was after the Last Supper. Jesus speaking here in John chapter 14. I, Jesus, I the Savior, I the intercessor between God and man, I will pray to the Father for you, and he, the Father, will give to you another counselor, another comforter. That means that Jesus, the person of Jesus, while he's with us, he's the comforter. What's a comforter? It says in another translation, counselor, someone who is paraclete with you, walks with you, he's with you, so that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So what's he doing here? He's showing us this. There's the Father, there's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and there's him. Three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, manifested to us in three persons. Why? Why did he do that? Because you and I, in order to even begin to conceive of who and what God is, we needed to have that, if you will, touch point with the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ was made flesh. He was human, just like you and me. So you and I can relate to God now through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life, this anointing that you get. Watch this. The Comforter, says Jesus, continuing in John 14, the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that means the Spirit of God, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So notice what Jesus just did here. What did he do with the Holy Spirit? He made a distinction. He's not saying that Jesus himself is the Holy Spirit or that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't die for you on the cross. The Son of God did. You say, well, that sounds really confusing. That's why Trinitarianism is so difficult for people, because they think, well, wait a minute. It sounds like three people to me, three gods, not one God. No, one God, three persons. The Father was in charge when Jesus died on the cross. The universe didn't fall apart, because if God would have died, the universe would have come apart, because he holds it all together by the word of his power. The Son of God died on the cross. The Holy Spirit comes to the believer now because Jesus died on the cross. Before Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit could not indwell a believer. It was after that that the Holy Spirit could come in and indwell a believer. What happens? He shall teach you all things. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? To teach you and to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. The Holy Spirit's ministry isn't to slay you in the spirit, make you roll on the ground, bark like a dog, or roar like a lion. You think I'm joking. I actually encountered that, where people thought that that's what the Holy Spirit was. And nowhere in the Bible do I see that anywhere in the Bible. The Holy Spirit comes into your life to teach you about the Bible, I am here to tell you that when I asked Jesus into my heart and he invaded my life and I began to listen to the word, he started to show me truth through the Bible. I never rolled on the ground. I never spoke in tongues. I never jumped up and down. I never roared like a lion or barked like a dog. I just listened to what he was telling me through the scriptures. I have the Holy Spirit. And I feel really almost offended that people will tell me, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit because you never spoke in tongues. I speak in more tongues than many people. I speak two languages fluently. Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians, I speak in more languages than all of you. He spoke Greek, he spoke Aramaic, he spoke Latin, he probably spoke a number of other dialects too. When the Comforter is come, Jesus said, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Truth, not confusion. Truth. The Holy Spirit never brings confusion. He brings order. He brings truth. He straightens out your mind, which proceeds from the Father. He shall what? Testify of who? Me. What's the Holy Spirit doing? Not pointing at himself. Just like when Jesus was here on earth, he glorified the Father. He always glorified the Father. And the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds. His job is not to glorify himself. His main ministry is to take you and lead you to Christ and teach you of him. Now, the word of life is denied by Antichrist. How do you recognize false prophets, false teachers? There's many scriptural admonitions about it, but John is saying something really cool for Christians. He says this, who is a liar? Who is it that you need to watch out for? It is any man or woman, I mean, because it's inferred here, it's any man or woman who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the only way to salvation, that only his death on the cross saves your soul, that he's the only Messiah of God, anointed of God. Such a man, if somebody denies that, such a man or a woman is an antichrist. He actually says this, the antichrist, meaning they're of the same spirit as the eventual coming of the antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So those who believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior are truly from God. Those who say, well, you know, maybe it's somebody else too, like those so-called ministers were saying on the radio. Well, maybe the Western interpretations of the Bible are wrong. Maybe there's other ways to heaven. All paths lead to God. You've heard that before, right? Did you know that that's not true? All paths do not lead to God. Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who are on it. Narrow is the way to life, and few are those who find it. So you say, well, that sounds really exclusive. It is. It's very exclusive. It's Jesus and Jesus Christ only, the Jesus of the Bible, not the imagination Jesus of somebody else, but the Jesus revealed to us in the Bible. We must believe in him, because if you don't believe in him the way the Bible says, then you are under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. Anti means against. Christos means anointed. Who is God's anointed? Jesus is. The only human being in all human history where God himself said, he didn't say it of Moses, he didn't say it of Abraham, he didn't say it of David, but he did say it of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to the baptism, at the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven with an audible voice said, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. He is my anointed. He is my Messiah. He is my promised one that I have been promising since Genesis. It's him and him only. There's no one else, and there never will be anyone else. When you and I die and go into eternity, we stand in front of God in heaven. Guess who you're going to see? Jesus Christ, the crucified one. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. Commitment to simple biblical truth keeps you in the word of life. If you want to grow in this faith, if you want to do well in this faith, then stay committed to the very simple truths of the Bible. Don't let anyone, even if they have a lot of influence, that's a new baby, by the way, even if they have a lot of influence, even if they have a lot of followers, somebody asked me, there's this one guy comes on TV and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Yeah, thousands of people go to Islam, thousands of people are atheists, thousands of people don't believe there's any God at all. You're going to believe them? Stay to the simple truths of the Bible. What are the simple truths of the Bible? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You and I are sinners, we need him, and when we come to him, we get cleansed. When you start associating with born-again Christians, you're not going to find the erudite, the educated, the influential, the power shakers and movers of the time. The Bible says in Corinthians, that God chooses the lowly things, the things that are not, to shame the things that are wise. Why aren't the big shakers and movers inside of the churches? Why? Because they'd have to humble themselves. That's why. They'd have to admit that they needed Christ and that they were sinners and that they had to confess and ask him into their life. They're not about to do that. Because they want power, they want influence, they want glory, they want to be adulated, they want to be noticed. But a true servant of God, whether they be in a place of great influence like Daniel was, or whether they be just a ditch digger, who cares? I'd rather associate with the lowliest of Christians than with the biggest power shaker that there is. Because some of them are actually devils. Now, the word of life promises life. What is the promise for us? Life. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Now, this is not quantitative, this is qualitative. Yes, it's quantitative in the sense that because you are in relationship with an eternal God, you will always have this life for forever. Forever and ever 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 and ever. You'll always have that relationship because God is eternal. But it's not about time. It's about quality. God is life. He is light. When you're with him, there's life. Look at just in this fallen world that we live in. When things are growing, when things are blooming, when things are, you just see animals and birds, and you just see life, life everywhere you go, life. Once again, I was coming down from the picnic. We stopped to put up one of the signs for the picnic, and I went and looked at the rocks, and there were seashells there in the rock, and just a bunch of mud that had turned into rock. And I go, wow, that means that this was under the water, under oceans before the flood of Noah. And now God made it rise up all the way to 7,000 feet. God had so much life happening before the flood that you can't even believe it. All of the oil and all of the coal seams that you and I benefit from now, it was because of all of the life, the physical life that existed before the flood. That's why we're able to use all of that fossil fuel, because it was all of the life that existed before the flood of Noah that is now coal and gas and methane gas and oil and petroleum. Now, look what it says here about life. Here's some of the tremendous statements by Jesus. He stood out and he cried, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, not in Moses, not in David, not in Jimmy, not in the church, not in the Pope, not in Mother Teresa, not in your own intellect, not in your technology, but you believe in him. In him, the revealed one of the scriptures, Jesus Christ. If you believe in him, as the scripture said, Jesus promises this, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." You need to stay with him. In Revelation, John the Apostle, writing here at the end of it, he says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb." Life is what comes from God, not death. "Come, let him that is athirst come. Whoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely," because you couldn't pay for it. Even if you wanted to pay for it, you couldn't. You can't give God anything, but he'll give you life if you surrender your life to him. Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for me will gain it. Whoever gains his life and denies me will lose it." If you think that life is about you, you've got another thing coming. It's about giving your life to him, and then he'll give you your life back plus. The word of life protects you. It is your immune system spiritually. It is your white T blood cells that inside of you spiritually to keep you from false teaching and false Christs and antichrists. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. What's John the Apostle doing? He's old. He's probably the last apostle living. He knows that Jesus taught them, the apostles, that many false Christs would come. And false Christ had been inside of the church at Ephesus. That's where he was. And he wanted to make sure that they understood. There are people that will try to mislead you about Jesus, about God, about Christ, about heaven, about hell, about what's right, what's wrong. There are people who will tell you. They might be sitting behind a counselor's desk. They might be a teacher. They might even be a family member, a very close friend, might even be a spouse who tells you, "Oh, no, you don't need that Jesus stuff." Anyone who teaches that is trying to lead you astray. And what Jesus said about this is, "If anyone leads any of my children astray, it would be better for him to be cast into the depths of the ocean with a rock around his neck. As for you, the anointing you have received from him remains in you." What's that anointing? The Holy Spirit with the Word of God, reminding us of the teachings and the truths of the Word of God. Not anything else, just that. You've received this anointing. If it remains in you and you do not need anyone to teach you, really, a true born-again Christian can take the Bible and read and pray, and God will show them truth. All you have to do is ask him to come into your life and say, Lord, I need to know truth. Can you show me truth, please? He'll show it to you. If he'll see your heart. If your heart is not right in it, he won't show you anything. But if you're really searching, if you really want to know, he'll show you. He'll open your eyes just like a blind man. He'll open your ears just like a deaf person. He'll loose your tongue. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. What's the main emphasis of the scriptures for Christians? Stay faithful. Hold on. Close your eyes if you've got the roller coasters coming. Just hold on, because it's him. It's him all the way. He'll get you through it. In Revelation, Jesus speaking to one of the churches there, probably the church that enters the end times, he tells them, be ye faithful unto the death, and I will give you the crown of life. So we stay faithful to him no matter what happens, good, bad, ugly. We just stay holding on to him and him alone. The word of life is a fellowship. You need way more than coming to church on a Sunday morning. You need fellowship with Christians. You need to listen to Christian radio. You need to read Christian books. You need to be exposing yourself to Christian teaching all the time. Why? Because there's so much false teaching out there. It'll try to divert your attention. It'll try to distract you and get you off of the path. And now, dear children, says John, continue in him. Not follow John. Not follow the apostles. Follow Jesus. Continue in him, because the beginning of this epistle and the beginning of the gospel, John, say this, that this fellowship that we have, this fellowship that we the apostles have with the Father and the Son and the Spirit is what he's invited us to. Stay in that fellowship. Follow God. Even if everybody around you says no more God, like they did in the days of Noah. No more, no more. We're not going to follow that no more. We're going to follow this. We're going to do our own thing. We believe in this morality now, not that. That's old-fashioned. I don't want that anymore. Okay, I know this, that anyone who does that, they don't last too long. They don't last for forever, that's for sure. So that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. What does this mean? Does this mean that when he gets back and if I'm not doing everything right, that I'll be afraid? No. You're in a walking fellowship. You're in a relationship with this God. And when he shows up, it's like, wow, there you are. All right. Now let's go on for forever. I mean, it won't be a surprise to Christians when Jesus comes back. It'll be a surprise to people that don't believe in him. And the reason they don't believe in him is because they don't want to believe in him. They stick their fingers in their ears and they run helter-skelter into hell itself. The Bible actually says that. That God will send to them a powerful delusion that they would believe a lie because they refuse to believe the truth. Well, what's the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me. That's what we preach here at Grace. We're preaching Jesus Christ. We're not preaching Grace Church. We're preaching Jesus Christ. If you come to him, and if you ask him in your life, you will be saved. And that's what I would ask you to do now. Let's all bow our heads and pray. If you're there sitting there and wondering where you're at with Jesus, that's what this is all about. You need Jesus in your heart, and you know you do. It's time that you open your heart and ask him to come in. And it's not about asking him time and time again every time you go to a church service. If you've asked him in, fine. Now it's time for you to start obeying him and listening to him and asking him to show you the truth of the word. And when you see something wrong in your life, if you've already asked him in, that you would be willing to be obedient and to repent of that and to get your life right with him. For those of you who are here maybe and you don't know Jesus and you've never asked him to come in, well, it's time. You may say to me, well, I've been going to church since I was little, or I'm this, or I'm that. All I ask is one thing. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you asked him into your life? Because that's what the difference is. I've never met anyone who is a Christian who didn't come to this point where they said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save my soul. I am a sinner. I need you to wash me. I need you to cleanse me. Take your shed blood and take away my sins. Help me, God, for without you I am lost. Help me, God, for without you I end up gone forever. I ask that you would ask him into your life. I would encourage you to just say, Lord, open the door into my heart and please come in. Change me from the inside out. I don't want to be religious. I want to be right with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be in my life and to never leave me and never forsake me. And if you are serious about that, he knows. It doesn't matter if I know or if any of the leaders of the church know. Really what matters is, does Jesus know? Does he know you, and do you know him? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I call them up by name, and they follow me. Are you following Jesus? It's time for you to start that process right now. Amen.